Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Business owners who used to enjoy the freedom of virtual workplaces now want everyone under the same roof. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Naomi, and I'm in the studio again today with Joanna and Josh. Welcome back, everyone.
Hi.
Now, we are continuing our business article for January. Today is January 29th, and we're on the middle day of our article, Balancing Real and Virtual Workplaces. How did we start off yesterday?
Well, yesterday we learned about a particular company that's making the switch from virtual to a real workplace, and we're learning about some of the advantages that come with being all under the same roof versus, you know, being in different places around the country.
Right. Now, recently in the news, it seems like everyone is kind of excited about the idea of a virtual workplace. Isn't that true, Josh?
That's right. And I don't think we talked about the word virtual too much yesterday, but it relates to being created by a computer, having an environment, whether it's a work environment or a work process, enhanced by the computer, and that's the word virtual. I think maybe you've talked about virtual worlds mm-hmm. in Studio Classroom in the past, and these are these kind of 3D experiences like Second Life that you go into and have an experience with other people solely on a computer. So an all virtual workplace was what this company WildBit used to be, where their employees were all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And this has been something that has seemed so exciting and appealing and kind of freeing, I guess, for a lot of people in the workplace, Joanna.
Well, when people are used to a mundane work life, showing up at an office that's boring and not very rewarding, you know, day after day for so many hours, the thought of being like a free spirit and just being able to set your own hours, your own work schedule is very attractive to people who don't like the office setting.
Right. I think a lot of people have this idea that cubicles stifle creativity. Basically, if you work in a little box all day and stare at the same gray wall, you're not going to be able to do your work in a very positive way or come up with very exciting creative ideas. But yesterday we learned that the problem with people working wherever they want to is actually creativity. Sometimes you're more creative with other people.
That's right. And things like brainstorming sessions and ways to bounce ideas off of your coworkers are very difficult to do when you're all in your own rooms across the world, or only a name on Skype or a name in the instant message box. Joanna talked about how instant messages get interrupted by bathroom breaks and internet connectivity. And I think also just the way we read English from, you know, phrases from each other without that face-to-face contact, things can get misunderstood or misconstrued and can stifle creativity and collaboration.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it seems like a trend that was usually going from the physical workplace toward the virtual workplace has sort of started going the other way again.
Well, I feel like a lot of companies have, you could say, sweetened the deal with working in the office, made it a better package, made it more attractive for people to, you know, work in an office. We talked about Google yesterday and how they offer a lot of really, really good benefits to their employees.
Okay. However, some physical offices are still making some steps toward going in the virtual direction. So let's learn more about how that's working today in our first reading on page 41.
A virtual trend. Then again, along with the WildBits, are companies like Dolphin Corp, another software firm that has trended toward a virtual setup after a conventional office start. With 51 employees in 14 states and 4 countries, Dolphin considers itself locally based because one of the 3 offices it has, the biggest, with 5 employees, is in Westchester, Pennsylvania. But Unlike WildBit, Dolphin, a partner of business solution system giant SAP in Newton Square, Pennsylvania, started what has been a consistent expansion since 2004. The decision to evolve into a 90% virtual company was driven by the key employees, said one of them, President and CEO Werner Hopf, who works from his home in Westchester rather than the office there.
So we're on page 41, and we've been learning about how so many companies are making a shift to the virtual world, and that may still be true for some of them, but there are maybe some differences. So where do we begin for today, Josh?
Well, we start by saying then again, which is a good phrase, kind of shifting a point of view towards another approach. And unlike WildBit, there are companies like Dolphin Corp, which also makes software that is trended toward a virtual setup after starting out as a physical company.
Okay, so that's kind of surprising after that first day sounding like, well, offices, physical offices are winning this battle. Along with all those types of companies are these companies like Dolphin Corp. And they say the virtual setup is coming after a conventional office start.
Well, we learned that they have 3 offices, but they've got 51 employees in 14 states and 4 countries. So that's quite a bit of telecommunication, I think. But they consider themselves locally based because one of the 3 offices, the biggest one, is in Pennsylvania.
Okay, and it has 5 employees. So it sounds like sort of a unique setup right there. 51 employees in 14 states and 4 countries. I mean, that's quite interesting because it's so many small offices all working together.
Yes, very decentralized, as we'd say. Lots of, maybe we call them branch offices sometimes, or satellites, smaller offices that are supporting the headquarters, which is where the company is based. That's a good phrase there in line 6. Where is the company based means what office is considers its flagship or its headquarters.
Okay, good. I think it's interesting that they talk about that conventional office start being sort of the traditional way of doing things. They started out that way and then moved toward a more virtual setup. So that seems to be a bit more common these days, that more companies would have started like your average company in an office with, you know, 2, 3, 5 employees and then expanded from there. But this one has some unique ways of doing business.
Well, we learned that unlike WildBit, Dolphin, which is a partner of a larger solution systems giant, SAP, in Pennsylvania, they have been consistently expanding since 2004.
Okay. So consistent expansion. Can you explain those 2 words? They're ones that you hear a lot in business, actually, but they're a bit confusing.
Consistent means regular, very reliable, and expansion means getting bigger. So I imagine their numbers every single year have been steadily getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Now, this is unusual purely because of how the economy has been in the United States over the last few years. I think it's exciting for them that they have had that consistent expansion. Can you explain a bit about what they do, business solutions systems?
Yes. I mean, SAP is a company that powers humongous companies with their back-end software. So whatever software systems they're using for their internal processes, their operations, their HR would license software from the global leader, which is a German company, SAP. So then those software giants like Oracle and SAP and Salesforce have created these ecosystems of partner companies that they need to create additional pieces of software to kind of feed this machine that they've created.
Phew.
It's a little complicated, but it's very interesting. All these companies spinning off partners and fueling technology growth, which has been a large part of American growth. But I think the reason why it's easier to go from physical to virtual has to do with employees learning the culture, learning how we do business, building trust in their employers, mm-hmm. and then getting to go virtual. I think wouldn't it be harder for you to hire 5 writers and never get to meet them and never learn how you like them to work
right.
before you send them off into the ether?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it maybe depends a bit on your industry, but in general, I can see how it makes sense to, at least have some period of time where everyone is in the same office and you're kind of getting a sense even of the company culture, like what values are important to this company and why they work the way they do. And I wonder how well that would work if you hire someone virtually and maybe never meet them in person. But it sounds like moving toward that virtual office place made sense for this company.
Well, they say that some of their key employees were, already telecommuting. They weren't living in the same city. We learned that the president and CEO worked from his home in Westchester instead of the headquarters.
Okay. And so he was one of the key employees. Now, when we use that word key, often we talk about a key point, key vocabulary. It's something that's very important to the topic.
Mm-hmm. The key employees are the people most important to do the work, and they were the ones driving the change. And when you drive something, that means you were instrumental in a decision being made, whether it was your point of view or whether you simply made the case for why something should be done a certain way.
Right. You can imagine this whole idea almost like a car, and your contributions are pushing on the gas pedal to make it go forward. And so that's what was happening with this company. Even people like the president said, I would rather not work in this office every day if I don't have to. So if they're the ones who are interested in this, of course, it moved forward. Let's find out about the virtual benefits as we continue our reading.
Virtual benefits. Chief Financial Officer Art Smithson moved from the Philadelphia area to Evergreen, Colorado, where he now gets to watch elk and deer wander through my yard during a workday, he bragged recently. Dolphin's evolution to a largely virtual company was also a matter of hiring practicality, Smithson said. It was hard to find the talent pool to serve our customers. We were forced to look outside and look for people who didn't want to move to Westchester.
So, according to the chief financial officer, Art Smithson, what is some of the appeal of working, what we might call it off campus?
Right. Well, instead of looking at, the gray cubicle we've been talking about throughout the lesson, he gets to watch elk and deer wander through his yard. So he has moved from the Philadelphia area, which is a metropolis on the East Coast, to Evergreen, Colorado, which I'm just guessing is a small, quaint town outside of the big city. And Colorado, which is in the central part of the U.S., is known for its natural beauty. And so he has wild animal, in this case, elk and deer, in his yard.
I think this is maybe probably two of the most geographically different locations in the United States that you can imagine. Philadelphia in the city versus the backwoods of Colorado. But when he talks about it, they use a fun word to describe how he talks.
It says he brags about it. That means he's very proud. He's boasting about it.
Mm-hmm. He's saying, I get to watch nature every day. What do you see in your office? It sounds like he's a really big fan of this system.
I imagine if you love the outdoors and you love being in the quiet rural setting, then a city like Philadelphia probably wouldn't be what you like best.
Okay. Now, he, of course, is one of those key employees. It sounds like he was probably one of the people who helped drive the change. But what else contributed to this shift for Dolphin?
Well, it says it was largely a virtual company that came down to practicality, making it difficult to find talented people. So in order to offer people the ability to come work for Dolphin, they needed to be flexible in what they asked of them.
Okay. So originally, with them being a more physically based workplace, that was a bit tricky for them. Hiring practicality just has to do with, well, what benefits are there for working for your company? I mean, why should I work there instead of somewhere else? What makes it appealing?
Sometimes a company has trouble finding people that even live within the area that do a certain job. So then you have to offer them benefits of moving or relocating, we say, to live, in this case, in Philadelphia. So they need to balance it. What makes sense in terms of where does the talent currently live and how expensive will it be to bring them over?
Right. So what did Mr. Smithson say about all of this?
Well, he said it was hard to find the talent pool to serve our customers. What that means is, I'm guessing they couldn't find qualified people for what they needed in the immediate area, so they had to start looking further and further away. And when you don't have good enough benefits to offer someone to move to your town, that's when telecommuting becomes a better option for you.
And especially some towns, unfortunately, have a bit of a bad reputation. And perhaps if people are already living there, they know that, you know, it's got its nice spots and they don't mind to live there. And so if a good job comes along, great. We had a similar experience to this in my family where my mother was offered a job, but it was in a steel town in Canada, a place that produces steel. And of course, any town that produces steel automatically has a bad reputation for having poor air quality and it's smelly and bad pollution and so on. Of course, when we moved there, we realized that it was a very pretty city, actually, and we really enjoyed living there. But that kind of thing, it doesn't always seem very appealing to people when you're offering them a job.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like this company had the same problem.
Right. They're in Westchester, which is outside of Philadelphia and kind of remote. So I think it just sounded as an unappealing option to a software developer who is looking at jobs. But that notion of a talent pool is kind of interesting, that we think that, you know, it, almost like a big body of water. There are people that you can reach into the pool and fish them out and bring them into your company. But for some companies, it's more of a talent pond, and some skill sets are very difficult to find.
Right. And also, of course, again, it depends on how you're baiting that hook. If we continue this idea of fishing for talent, you know, if you have something good to offer, then everyone will come biting and say, ooh, that sounds exciting. I want to live there. I want to move there. If you don't, then you might not get as many applicants. So that's an issue to consider. It sounds like that really factored in to Dolphin's decision to go toward a more virtual workplace. But there is more that factored in as well. So let's finish our reading for today on page 42.
It was also a matter of practicality from the customer service perspective, Hoff said, noting that Dolphin's 120 customers are spread across the globe. To counteract any sense of loneliness its employees experience, Dolphin holds annual employee meetings and vacation-like gatherings for employees, their spouses, and children every 2 years. This year, it was in Puerto Rico in January. That gives us a chance to tie those bonds a little closer between the different individuals who don't have a lot of opportunity to have face-to-face interactions, Hoff said.
So we have one more factor here today that has to do with Dolphin's decision to move from a more physical, office-bound kind of workplace to a more virtual workplace. And it is a matter of what?
It's a matter of customer service. Their customers come from all over the world, so it kind of makes sense to have people, employees all over the world, to help field questions and problems and work with the clients on a more one-on-one, you know, basis. Maybe there was less of a time issue, you know, having one person in the morning at one side of the world and another person at night on the other side of the world.
Right, definitely. So it sounds like a very practical solution.
Yes, customer service is very practical, right? How do I offer, you know, support, answer their questions, right? Whether it's a 1-800 number or an email address or face-to-face visits, we all want good customer service and want to keep our clients or our customers happy. So that drove this decision to virtualize their workforce.
Right. It could be as basic as just a language issue and being able to hire people that can serve people in their own language. It could also just have to do with convenience and time frames, as you said. So it sounds like it just made sense for them to expand in this way.
I like that term, across the globe. I don't think I use that enough, but this idea of doing things around the world, across multiple continents. We literally think of this three-dimensional object, the globe, and how can my company cover it?
Okay. But there is an issue that might pop up there.
Well, to counteract any sense of loneliness the employees experience, Dolphin holds regular, we might call it a reunion or a retreat, vacation, company meetings where everyone from around the world can get together and interact for a little while. It sounds like a family reunion, kind of.
Yeah, it's a fun idea. I don't know if it would do quite enough for me to counteract the loneliness. If I were the only employee for this company, say, in my whole country, I might feel a little isolated regardless.
That's true. I think it is becoming very common for companies in the U.S. to do these off-sites where they'll go away from the centralized office and put their employees in a different environment and ask them to collaborate, do some different team-building things. But that becomes really difficult or maybe just a lot more costly with a workforce that's around the world.
Definitely. But it sounds like it's a priority for Dolphin. We hear again from the president, Mr. Hopf, and he explains that they have these vacation-like gatherings for not only the employees, but also their families every couple of years, and that this year it was in Puerto Rico in January. Sounds fun.
That is absolutely where I want to be in January. It's a beautiful, beachy island. It sounds like a great vacation.
And so why did they do it?
Well, that gave them a chance to get to know each other better. These people that maybe, like we've said, only know each other through instant message and Skype now get to forge bonds, that in line 10 there. And bonds just talk about the things that connect us emotionally to our family and friends.
Okay. Yeah, so tying those bonds closer, kind of building up those relationships and strengthening those relationships is important to this company, especially for people who don't have as many face-to-face interactions. Now, when we say face-to-face, I mean, I see your face if we're on Skype. So does that count as a face-to-face interaction?
Not really. I would say face-to-face implies that you're actually in the same room physically talking to each other face-to-face.
Okay, so because they don't have that many opportunities, this is a chance for them to do that and to really get to know each other in person. Well, let's listen to today's feature.
I've been thinking about renovating my house.
That's quite a big project. Where are you going to start?
Either the kitchen or the den. They both need to be updated.
Well, you spend a lot of time in your den, so I suggest you start there.
Great! Can you help me brainstorm some ideas?
My pleasure. Not to brag, but I have been told I have an excellent sense of style.
Yes. So what do you think about me putting in a fireplace?
Oh, that would be fabulous. You should put it across from the window.
That could work. Then what color should I paint the walls?
I'd say go with something non-traditional. Maybe purple or yellow. After all, you're quite the free spirit.
That's true, but it could be hard to match furniture to those colors.
Well, you could counteract a bright wall color with simple shades for your furniture.
Well, maybe. Then I'd need new curtains and artwork, too.
Are you thinking of doing it all yourself? I can offer my services for a small fee.
Well, I was thinking I'd go online first and search for interior designers in the area. You know, survey the talent pool.
Oh, and then you could get a matching carpet and lamps for the corners and... Wait, what? You want to survey the talent pool?
Thanks for your help. Great ideas. I'd better go now.
Well, it sounds like face-to-face interaction isn't always the secret to getting business. All right, so a little review for today. What are some of the highlights or the strong points of working from a physically present workplace where everyone is in that office, an office-bound workplace?
Well, one of the advantages is that you have face-to-face interaction and you can be more spontaneous, especially with brainstorming. You're productive in that way that you don't need to schedule your meetings. You can just turn around and talk to your coworker.
Right.
And if your company offers you a chef, you need to be there in person to eat his food.
That's true. Okay, but what about those virtual offices?
Well, they offer the flexibility of working in your pajamas and getting to watch the elk and the deer wander through your yard and oftentimes allow you the freedom to do other things and work on your time.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's an advantage sometimes for the company doing the hiring. They get to pull from a larger talent pool and possibly get people who are better qualified for what they need that may not necessarily live in that area.
Okay. So which one would you pick after, you know, these couple of days of reviewing?
You know, we talked about this before the lesson began, and I'm still leaning towards half real, you know, under one roof office work and half, you know, telecommuting. I would like to just work half days and then go home and work from a coffee shop.
Sounds appealing. How about you, Josh?
I think I would lean more towards physical, maybe 4 days of one and one virtual. But I do think having the option to be virtual helps with the employees.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I like the idea of a little bit of flex time, maybe a physical office, but then with some options for doing, you know, at least a few hours of your work from home or at a different time of the day or of the week, just to give people a chance to maybe even run some errands or, you know, be with their families a little bit more. I think a lot of people would appreciate at least some more flexibility in their work lives. Well, we'd love to hear what you think. You can get in touch with us on our Facebook page or at studioclassroom.com. Please write to us, letters@studioclassroom.com, or leave us a message on our English Corner. And we'll see you again tomorrow for the last day of this article.